Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
Reveille, reveille, reveille! Edition of Zero Block 30. Today we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one.
Boo.
What happened?
Boo.
Oh, boo. We're having difficulties and Kate's chiming in over. I had no idea what was going on. If we're losing,
I'm mooing.
If we're losing everything. Mooing before I even mentioned the cow. What a spoiler alert there, Kate.
It's a hook. If you've never listened to the show before,
I'm big time hooked. Round number one. Many people are saying the Department of Defense should spend billions of dollars on cows. Seems stupid, right? It should only seem stupid if you're actually the idiot. Round number two. A woman showed remarkable situational awareness over the weekend, and as a result, her Wordle-loving mama isn't dead. She saved her mom's life, apparently, by picking up some trends. Round number three. Finally, all you nasty little worms who love having your dick skinners all toasty can achieve your hand warmth via a new technology that the Army has, and it makes me absolutely sick. I just saying that because I feel like I need to. In reality, I think it's an awesome invention. And I think it would really change how you performed in a cold weather environment, for real. Like this invention that they have, I think it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Round number four, we're going to do some more reporting on the exit from Afghanistan. Well, we're not actually going to do it, but Dan LaMoth is going to continue his great reporting that President Biden was in his fucking britches about over the weekend, too. Like going on NBC and doing that big sit down, he seemed like a little sourpuss. Hey, Joe, you fucking lied, bro. Own it. You lied. Mm-hmm. They did mm-hmm. after-action reports. One, anybody that's ever been around the military acting like one of the biggest catastrophic events that's happened in the last 50 years revolving around the military wasn't going to have an after-action report? Are you fucking kidding me?
Like, dude, we do AARs for freaking PT sessions. You're going to tell me this wasn't
an AAR for anything. One that makes international headlines for weeks. I mean, one that makes a military podcast go into the top 20 in the country. First of all, I thought that Ukraine-Russia was going to be having a war this weekend. I thought it was going down. It was doom and gloom on social media.
I texted you guys. I was like, guys, you checking Twitter? Do you see what's happening? Pretty big. Like everybody made it like top news correspondents were like, we're here in scuttlebutt any minute now.
Thought that the horses were mounted and were ready to go all over the place. I mean, there was videos going viral of Russian helicopters doing a formation going to the border. You had all types of news outlets from across the globe, not just U.S. and European ones, but from everywhere of what was going to happen. China was getting involved with Russia and saying that they don't want Ukraine and NATO either, and they don't want NATO protection for Ukraine. It was crazy. And then I got another very important notification. Collins was in cahoots, being completely irresponsible in Arizona of all places. His fiance, bless her heart, worried sick. I felt like I was the fucking ZBT family fro.
Comms were down. Comms were down.
We were black on comms. But that wasn't, honestly, it wasn't something that I intentionally did and said, you know what, I'm going to stay off my phone. It just happened organically. Because we're so much going on. I was with a great group of buddies and an alternate reality where I didn't know what was going on in the world. I wasn't staring at my phone all day, every day, like I have to, you know, most days. And it really was very refreshing to not be on my phone.
Those days, cons when you have those type of days where you're not paying attention to your phone, it really, I think that's what so many people actually live their life like. Like for me now, like this has been the internet's been such a large portion of my life, like staying up if I need a blog, if I need to pay attention. In reality, nothing changes if I'm not on that motherfucker for a day. Like, no one cares. Like, nothing's going to go on. But that's how so many people do live their lives.
Yeah, I think we
we act like everybody knows everything.
I think you and I assume, like, everyone is as extremely online as we are. I'm like, hey, Dad, did you see hashtag Mojangles this weekend? He's like, what? What are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I will say, I was pleased. You did post one little Instagram blurb from your bachelor party. And the first photo, I could see it in your eyes. I said, that guy's physically there, but nobody's home. So I was proud of you for that.
Thank you. But, thank you. I had a very nice time. And I will only do that one time.
Were you at the golf tournament where everyone was throwing the beers?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we were on the 18th hole.
Beard?
Oh, no, I thought you said you weren't going to go. I was going to ask you about that, but I thought you had said before that you weren't going to go to the golf tournament.
No, pretty sure. That was always in the plan. That was always in the works.
Oh, you weren't going to meet up with Riggs there. I think
correct.
That was-
Yeah. He's a busy guy. He's inside the ropes, wandering around, doing his job, doing a fantastic job, by the way. Did you see he got a nice shot out from Randall Chamblee this weekend? That was nice to see. But I did run into... play excellent cover band, 90s cover band at this one place we were at. That was a lot of fun. But it really just, when you're not, I'm telling you, when you're not on your phone, you just feel like you don't exist in this world.
A good way.
Yeah, but in a good way. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, yeah, it's a lovely Valentine's Day weekend too. We're gonna have some troops in the Valentine's news because we want to have a little love. My wife had Galentine's party over here yesterday.
I love Galentine's party.
That's a thing that's come about the last few years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like, all they had a big spread out. Like, they put it all out there by the pool. They had sandwiches and candies and like champagne drinks and stuff like that. They seemed like they had a lovely time.
Jelly sandwiches and cantaloupe.
And I was very much Home Depot dad yesterday because she was like, can you heat up the hot tub, because we haven't had the hot tub going this winter really, because we just haven't had the desire to. She's like, can you warm it up? And I was going out there, I was like, I don't know if you gave me enough time, babe. There, your friends are gonna be here. I'm like, 50 degrees that water is. Ooh. And so I started up out there like every 20 minutes. I'm like, what, you aren't gonna believe this, we're up to 72. And so after a while, so like, we're at 96 now, we're just cooking with gas, we're gonna be fine by the time the party starts. And my wife goes, I love you and I appreciate that you're trying to do this for me, but you gotta shut up about the temperature of the water. No one cares.
Speaking of what, I don't know what it is about significant others. They just don't care. So we were at this pool party on Saturday. Turns out two of them were Olympic gold medalists in the 2012 London Olympics. And I was like, Swimming.
What are their names? Yeah.
I don't want to say on this. I'll text you guys though.
It's gotta
I'll
be send Phelps. You. It's
gotta no, be it was it was, oh, wow, it was females. It was, they were females.
And Lochte. Oh.
It turned out that they both went to college with one of our friends from school. So it was like small world. But I told Alex that, and she's like, "Dude, no one cares.
Yeah.
At all." Mm-hmm. Like, I was that impressed
happens.
By that.
That happens. You have stories and you're excited to tell them, and then nobody ends up caring about it.
Yeah.
And so then you get sad, and the next thing you know, you're in the bosom of a cow, which is exactly what happens in round number one. Let's go out to California. And if you don't get it, if you get a chance, you have to go to this Instagram page. It's called The Gentle Barn is the Instagram page. And these cows, some of the cows are just so stinking cute. Like these cows, that the Highland cows, I believe they're called, with the long hair, and they come from like Scotland or Ireland. Mm-hmm. And they have like the ginger hair, kind of look like my beard, honestly, but just in cow form. Absolutely delightful. Kate, what's going on with these fellas?
Well,
and ladies.
And thank you. Heifers, I believe they're called, the lady cow. A California-based nonprofit is using cow hugging therapy to help people cope with stress. Animals are candid, loyal companions, says founder of The Gentle Barn, Ellie Lax. And Lax said, nailing it, Kate, they can give humans emotional support through tough moments in life. If someone needs healing, the cows wrap them in really good hug with their necks, Lax said. Cows are very centered, grounded, and immersed in the present time, and they help us do the same. She majored in special education and psychology and said that cow hugging therapy can help with a wide range of mental health issues, including depression, anxiety, and compassion fatigue. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, close interaction with other animals can help increase happiness and reduce stress. However, the CDC also added, it's important to be aware that farm animals can sometimes carry, what a bunch of Debbie Downers, harmful diseases and a wide variety of illnesses.
It's absolutely true, though, Kate. As you well know, my senior year of high school, I got scabies from being around cows and riding them when I was wearing bathing suits.
So. Yes, oh, you did. You have that's to true. Like, right. Yeah. You can get minor skin infections to serious illnesses. One of the best ways to protect yourself from getting sick is to wash your hands after handling farm animals, their supplies, or anything in the areas where they live and roam. Along with cow hugging therapy, the Gentle Barn serves as a sanctuary and helped save thousands of animals. We rescue animals from severe abuse and neglect. Once healed, we partner them with people who are going through trauma. We connect people around the world to the magic and love of animals.
All right. So all that to be said, yeah. If you guys needed some therapy and the only therapy you could have is animal therapy, you take out dogs. You can hang out and you can just love on and cuddle any animal in the world without fear that that animal will attack you. So we're going to take the aggressive nature out of all the animals and they're all going to be sweethearts and you can just hang out and love on one. Who do you love on? What type of animal? Kate, we'll start with you.
Koala. Immediately there. Koala. If syphilis is taken out of the equation.
Yeah.
Absolutely koala. If the nails are trimmed down into soft little arches instead of the claws. Immediately koala. The way they hold on to things. I've had a longing for decades now to just be held by one. And I would like to hold one in return.
Mitch Hedrick, I think that's a great answer. Cons, you?
I think I'm gonna go brown bear because they're just massive and that fur looks so soft and cuddly. And if you're telling me
like giving just getting a hug from Willie Colon.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I would go brown bear. Cause I mean, obviously dogs are the number one answer. So what about you?
I'm going manatee. I think that getting in the water, hanging out in like some 75, 80 degree water and having one of those blubbery fucks just like cuddling me. I think it would just be so nice. I can't imagine that you're depressed with that or like a grizzly bear or a yak, an old school yak. Ooh. You could really do some cuddling with that. Cause they got long, warm hair.
And a nice little soft little, I say horses too, those soft velvety little muzzles. If I wasn't afraid of one biting me, I'm terrified of horses. I'm
not giraffes too. I went to this place called the Serengeti Resort here in the Hill Country of Texas. And they had a giraffe named Buddy there. Buddy was super nice, but occasionally he'd whack stuff with his head, like getting his head going. And you had to watch out whenever Buddy came around. And don't even get me started on the fucking ostriches and emus. Oh. They will rip your hair out.
No, I don't want anything. But I will say I've been to a sanctuary farm animal place in upstate New York where they let you walk. It was like the most beautiful morning. It was nice and sunny and cool. And they're like, yeah, just go hang out, pick a cow, go hang out with it. So I did. I went by myself. I'm walking.
Of course you did. Beautiful.
And you can, you just wrap your hands. You're hanging out with them. They're nestling into you. And I had a BLT sitting in my car waiting for me when I was done. I was like, uh-oh.
What a day. Now I'm feeling
feelings for these cows.
Well, good thing cows don't have bacon. So
yeah, but meat in general. Well, there's pigs. There's all sorts of farm animals there. But I can see it. So, I think veterans and cows.
And there's also a lot of research that you can go in that cows are a lot like dogs. Like they're smart. They have emotions and things like that. There's some one of my buddies Sully went down this big rabbit hole of cows acting like dogs on YouTube. And from that point forward, he gave up eating meat, like eating beef. He was like, I cannot do it. After watching these animals, it'd be like eating.
You put a bunch of them in a pasture for a period of time. They pair out. They like find
their periods sync up.
Yeah. Period Tuesdays. They always celebrate period Tuesdays, but they'll find their buddy cow that they're always with like 24/7.
So no, fucking Roger. Come here, Roger. You're with me.
Yo, Roger, bro. What up?
I like imagining have like cows. If you go out in a big orchard or a big field of cows, and then next thing you know, you're making them pick teams like LeBron and KD had for the All-Star game.
Right.
Like, all right. I want that one. Why do you want that one? Cause it's brown, dude. I want chocolate milk. Duh.
Yeah. Idiot.
All right, let's move on to round number two, which is going to be brought to you by our good friends at BetterHelp. If you don't have the opportunity to go hanging out with a cow to get your mentals and your chickens back in order, perhaps you can do it with BetterHelp, because I do it. My wife does it. Kate does it. Cons does it. A lot of the people at Barstool do it. You should do it too. You're going to get a good deal and get a discount if you do it right now. You can get this, because this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. You're going to get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/zero. That's BETTERHELP.com/zero. You don't have to go into an office. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. You can talk to them. You can text. You can write email. Different ways of therapy, video chat, all that stuff, just by going to betterhelp.com/zero. You can get started today. And if you don't like them, and this is huge and they don't really talk about this a lot, but if you don't vibe with the psychologist that you get matched up with, or the therapist that you get matched up with, you can just move on to the next one. And it's not awkward. You don't have to go through your insurance and all that stuff. You can just pick another one, and then you're on your way to having a different therapist that you actually do like, which is huge. All right, let's move on to round number two. Kate, what do we got there?
A little bit. Are you guys playing Wordle?
No.
Yes, I am.
I don't know what it is. I saw it. I said, I'm going to turn a blind eye and just never
Oh, this is a classic Katie. Yes. Everybody else likes it, so I'm not going to do it. I can't like it. This is a Kate thing through and through.
Absolutely. Everybody's saying you should try and like get your baby to help sleep a little better. I said, me, I'm going to run to him every time he wakes up. If that's what people are saying is the thing to do right now. No, my son's not asleep. Anyway, yes. So I've turned a blind eye. I have no idea what Wordle is. I've never clicked on a story about it. I've never done anything to figure out. I'm assuming it's like, what's that show on before Jeopardy every night? Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune. It's not. It's okay. It's basically just like a souped up version of Hangman, essentially. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Where it's like a Rubik's Cube and Hangman kind of combined together to have one. And it's a fun one. If you haven't done it, for the listener, that if you listen to this show, you would definitely like it. It's called Loodle. So it's just
the nudie
like
version.
Lewd words. So it's like pussy and cocks and stuff like that that you can guess. And the only type of words that you can guess is all like Urban Dictionary type of words.
Grundle.
That's all that's there. Grundle would be, no, I don't think that's too many letters. Mm-mm. That'd be six letters. You need Taint. Five. Yeah. So like pussy, cocks work. Boobs.
Okay. Squeezer.
Squeezer, no. Too many letters again.
Titty.
Titty will work, yeah.
Clam.
Clams. If you pluralize it, it'll work.
Roast beef.
Not going to work too long.
I don't think, Kate, doesn't strike me as you really understanding this.
Veiny.
Veiny
will work, yes. Into it.
Meaty.
Meaty also work.
Moist.
So the Wordle, there's a story that came out of Chicago. What happened there, Catherine?
A Chicago grandmother was rescued from a 17-hour hostage ordeal after police were alerted for the unlikeliest of reasons, a missing solution to the day's Wordle challenge. Denise Holt, age 80, was alone at home in Illinois on the 5th of February when a naked and mentally ill suspect entered her home. Her daughter in faraway Seattle noticed something was amiss when Miss Holt failed to send her daily Wordle. And I'll say this as someone
I'm busy, you dumb bitch. There's a naked mental case.
Excuse me. I will say this. I don't quite know what Wordle is, but scrolling my Facebook with all my relatives, all the olds, and they're posting their score every day. They cannot get enough. So this checks out. The suspect now faces several felony charges. According to Ms. Holt, she was asleep in bed in Chicago's Lincolnwood area when 32-year-old James H. Davis III entered her home and pointed.
Way too fancy of a name for somebody who's naked entering people's homes.
Right. He entered the home and pointed a pair of scissors at her. He was naked and bleeding after being cut by window shards while entering the house. I didn't think I was going to live, she told CBS. I was in shock. I was trying to survive. While Mr. Davis told her he wouldn't harm her, he did force her, still wearing a nightgown, to take a warm bath with him before taking two knives from the kitchen, disconnecting the phones, and locking her in a cold basement bathroom.
Dude, are you kidding me?
Christ.
This is freaking, I'm sorry.
I'll be honest. I put this in the sheet. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a quick little Wordle goof story. We can rip back and forth. I had no idea we were going to have forced baths.
Baths, my friend. Across the country in Seattle, Kate. I'm not. It's just absurd. It's fucking absurd.
Stop laughing about it. I'm glad scary. It was not, imagine.
I'm not imagine, laughing.
Kate, that's so inappropriate.
I'm not laughing. I'm laughing at the absurdity.
No, imagine it whenever you slipped in that hostel in Chicago. Somebody walks in and did you to take a bath.
She's lucky. At scissor she's point. Lucky. She's not lucky, but I'm glad that that's all, even though that's fucking horrible too. I know. Lucky. Okay. Now this is what I'm digging a hole. You know what I'm saying? Could have been a lot worse. That's but this just, is
I think it's best for all of us if we continue with this.
Yeah. Okay. Fuck you guys.
Continue to dig yourself into the hole that Holt was in.
Okay. Across the country in Seattle, Miss Holt's daughter, Meredith Holt Caldwell, soon noticed that her mother wasn't responding to text messages and had not sent in her Wordle.
Oh man, imagine if puzzle. If somebody is trying to text you and their response, and like if this happened to you, Cons, when Alex is trying to get a hold of you while you're on your bachelor party weekend, like can't get a hold, like what's going on? Why aren't you answering my? I'm sorry, there's a naked person here forcing me to take a bath at scissor point. What was I supposed to do?
I would have thought Loodle. That little
exactly
minx.
Right.
Alarmed, Miss Holt Caldwell alerted
police.
You can only
guess pussy once, Cons.
Yeah, once. They alerted police, who conducted a well-being check at her home. A standoff with Mr. Davis ensued, ending only when a police SWAT team used a stun gun to subdue him and take him into custody. At first, he was like, why don't you guys come in here? We'll all have a warm bath and talk this out. And the cops were like, no, thank you.
Come on in. We just warmed it up. Like, man,
I just poured a tub.
You want a toilet beer? We got some toilet beer.
So only bombs in here are bath bombs. Okay.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Kid. Police say that Mr. Davis now faces a range of felony charges, including home invasion with a deadly weapon, aggravated kidnapping, assault against a police officer, a term that includes police and probation officers, prison guards and law enforcement officials. Oh, peace officer. Okay. Anyway, Miss Holt was unharmed during the incident. Thank God. I never thought in a million years this is what was happening, but it was, she said. I'm very lucky. Wordle, which was purchased by the New York Times for an undisclosed 7-figure sum in January, gives players 6 attempts to guess a hidden 5-letter word each day.
Oh, talk about burying the lead there.
There's the lead. There's like, what I wanted to know. What's going on with
God.
Wordle?
Yeah, that's what we clicked on this article just to see what was going on.
I feel like awful this would be story, like, though. This would be like if I didn't send you guys a photo of me eating canned beets for a couple days, then
would,
you'd probably
we
be
would
like,
do a health and welfare.
Or sure. If there's a West Point game, like an Army football game going on and Cons doesn't even mention it.
Yeah, exactly. This is scary though. Like you're this woman's go back to Seattle and leave your mother alone at 80 years old in Chicago when that happened. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't know what they're, relationship is like, seems like they're pretty close. I just, this is very scary because this woman's going to be you know, unfortunately probably traumatized for a little while, and I'll go to bed at night and I feel
or take a bath. Yeah. Probably, baths are probably out of the question now forever. Mm-hmm. That's probably not
baths have been ruined. That sucks.
Yeah, that's absolutely nutty. But yes, situation like her spidey sense was saying something to my mom. She checked it out
I bet she thought she was being crazy. I bet she was like, am I being crazy?
Right.
Like, mom hasn't texted that she did her Wordle today. Am I being crazy? Yeah. Maybe she's just doing stuff. Maybe she's out at the fucking golf tournament in Arizona and having a great time and just has her phone away. Maybe she just put her pocketbook down and is just dancing with the gals.
So, like, I'd say, like, 99 times out of 100, police get wellness checks all the time. Probably a lot of Home Alone type situations. Family goes to France to see the family and they leave their son behind. Let's go do a wellness check, but the son's fine.
There's a tarantula. You
know, tarantula, whatever. But I'd say 99 times out of 100, it's, oh no, I'm fine. Sorry, miscommunication there. You do not expect a nude man with scissors in a bathtub.
You don't expect some real fat guy that's been incapacitated, that's laying on a bed covered in nothing but air fresheners, like what happened on the movie 7.
True. Yes. That's true. That is extremely true. You just really
don't think about that when it comes to gluttony.
You know, you never know what you're going to get. I will say I was at military police, but field side, and I only got fapped over to the gate. Why do they call it fapkin?
I was just going to say, that sounds like an inappropriate.
It means something, but I augment position, supplement position.
Anyways, I got squeezered over to the gate for like a month, and I got to do a couple ride-alongs. And the one night I'm doing a ride-along, like a real MP, And they get this call. This Marine had said, I've killed my wife. I killed her. She's dead in our base housing. And so we go rush. And I'm like, holy shit. I was just sitting eating chips thinking it was going to be like an easy night. We go over there and they're like, you go to this window. Like everybody go around. They knock on the door. And she was like, hello? She was fine. And we're like, we have something to tell you. Your husband's wilding out on Facebook right now, honey. You gotta. Anyway, they had to do this whole thing. So thought she was okay.
I'm looking it up. It's the Family Advocacy Program that is designed to address child abuse and domestic abuse within the Marine Corps.
There's another FAP. That's
a different one.
There's FAP means three like FAPs.
Moving position. Yeah, there's all kinds of FAPs. It's just a FAP heavy industry, honestly. So much
Marines fapping. Okay. Handshake.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So he pulled a fast one on you, not as fast as NASCAR. When they come whipping around the bend at 190 miles an hour, there's no better place to kick off the 2022 NASCAR season than an iconic Daytona International Speedway with the 64th running of the annual Daytona 500, my friends. Winning the Daytona 500 is compared to winning the Masters, the Super Bowl, or the gold medal in the Olympics. The American race, the great American race at the motorsport, the biggest race. If you've never gone to Daytona, when you actually pull into the track, it's like so breathtaking. Cool. It's huge. Yes,
it is. It's unbelievable.
You don't have to. I was never into racing, never watched it, never cared until, and it's so friendly too. Like you can bring your own food and drinks in. You can bring like all your own stuff. Like you can be so comfortable.
Like a legit cooler full of booze. Like
it is so fan friendly. Your access to the places around the, I just could not recommend enough. I can't wait till my son's older to start taking him to races. Well, anyway, Daytona is awesome.
Like near the track and they all come whipping by and it kind of like rattles your, that would honestly be a great place to go post COVID. Like where you have all that phlegm and shit that you were coughing up, Kate, all the race cars just kind of knock it loose. Just spit it out there. Nobody's going to shy away from you from spitting whenever you're watching a race. That's part of it.
I get the chills every single time. I get the chills. They come around the track. It's awesome.
So get the chills.
Not every time. Every race.
That's a lot. That would be like.
That'd be hundreds of chills.
Yeah, that'd be like 200 chills. That's a lot of chills, right. No matter who you are. Mm-hmm. If you want to get the chills with Kate, go down to the Daytona 500 on February 20th at 2:30 p.m. on Fox. Is where it's going to be. Kate, just off the top of your head, what time is 2:30 in your military time?
Well, isn't 2:30 when you go to dental?
No, he's just looking for the military time.
2:30.
2:30.
Oh.
14:30.
Nailed it. Well done, Kate. Well done.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to round number three. What is that one about, Kate?
Hands and paws. Should I go full Alanis Morissette again?
No, yeah. Please.
Sure. Yeah, I got a lot of DMs and messages from people saying more, more, more.
Oh, people are going nuts over it.
Well, I got one DM. Okay. It was from Vicky. Hi, Vicky. We love you. Anyway.
Yeah, I love Vicky. Yeah.
Vicky's fantastic.
She's the best. The Army hates it when soldiers have their hands in their pockets. They don't hate it.
Not just
Marines do.
I actually sent a picture of the group chat. It was last Thursday or Friday when I was on Lackland, mm-hmm. and there was a lieutenant colonel who's an 05 mm-hmm. standing mm-hmm. there at the with both of his hands just knee deep in his pockets. And look, if you're in a field environment, if you're actually in the woods or you're conducting training, I think having your hands in your pockets is fine because you're thinking, you're not really concerned about it. But if you're an 05 and you're at a business spot on base, you look nasty, like, right? Like, it's just, even if you're, and I think that applies even now to me as like civilian life. Like, even if I'm going somewhere and it's a place of business and the person is standing there with his hands in his pockets, I feel like you look sloppy and you don't care about your job. Even if I'm buying a car.
I've been to cons, keep this in mind, wedding coming up. I've been to several weddings where the groom is standing at the altar with it, like kind of rocking back and forth with his hands in his pockets. And I say, as an expert myself, this marriage ain't going to last.
Exactly. Okay. Right. He doesn't care. He doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't care. Get your hands out. Spit your fucking gum out.
Yeah. Any time a photographer at an event or whatever says, put your hands in your pockets. I'm like, I don't think so.
Because your suit always looks poor when you're there. If your hands in your pockets, it always looks bad. It doesn't fit you how it's supposed to. Just an absolute abomination.
Rule of thumb. This is a little NCO Kate chat here. An old mm-hmm. NCO Katie, Corporal mm-hmm. Kate. for correcting someone with their hands in their pockets. Say you're walking up to the PX and you see a Marine or soldier or so, whoever with their hands in their pockets. Ask yourself these questions. Are you going to correct them or not? It's up to this. Are they more attractive than you? Don't correct them. Are they lower ranking than you, but still more attractive than you? Don't correct them. Do they look like they're gruntier? Do they look like, are you a pogue and they look like they're a salt dog? I don't care if they're six ranks below you, don't correct them. But if they look like a nerd, like me, fucking, that's how correct I would operate.
Them? Like that's, if they look like they're not going to do anything bad.
If they look less cool than you is what I'm saying. If they look like a total pussy and then like they're just going to feel bad about it, then go ahead. But if not, don't. Just keep going.
I disagree with all those things Kate just said. Let's continue going down through the actual article here. Okay. What's the invention that the Army has come up with?
Pardon me, Mr. Rules. Anyway, gloves might seem Mr. like a simple Rules. Solution, but for a soldier, it's not always feasible to wear them in combat. Mittens can eliminate dexterity between anywhere between 50 and 80%. No
hey
shit.
There, fucking mittens. Come here.
Hey there. Hey there, kitchen gloves.
Basically, they should say having none of your fingers available could really mess you up a little bit.
That's
no
what
shit.
We should have called ZBT listeners instead of baby girls. We should have called them the kitchen gloves.
Hey there, kitchen gloves. Hey there. Can you imagine having to, you know what they should do to level the playing field and just, if both sides were tired of fighting and needed a break, but they still had to fight and they wanted to be goofing. All right, we're all going to battle today, but everyone's got to wear mittens. Mm-hmm. So the Army found a way to heat soldiers' forearms and generate better circulation to keep those digits moving. A forearm heater. I never would have thought of this.
Right.
Now, the U.S. Army Research Institute for Environmental Medicine is setting its sights on soldiers' little piggies. Piggy dipping at the piggy pond, keeping them warm. The forearm heating device called the personal dexterity device is battery powered and essentially works by heating up your arm, which warms the blood that flows into the fingers. This device will serve as the basis for research into how that same technology can prevent frostbite
absolutely
in toes.
Absolutely terrible name. Personal heating dexterity device? A PHPD? Come on. PhD?
I got a PhD. Personal terrible heating device. I like it. Our previous research has shown that warming the forearm increases hand and finger temps significantly. The result is that soldiers can have improved hand dexterity. And it is so hard. You guys have been out in the field when it's fucking freezing, doing little things to your rifle, whatever. It feels almost impossible sometimes. You can't
this
feel shit.
This is going to change football as we know it. Like if you have the ability as a quarterback, cons, being able to grip the ball in the cold is so much more difficult when your hand feels cold. If you could have your forearm getting warmed up so your hand stays loose and limber and you could still grip the ball as well, game changer in cold weather games.
Outdoor winter hand jobs is about to be a lot more comfortable.
I don't mean to be the Debbie Downer here, but I just think this is a horrible idea because it's just, listen, I like the idea of it is great, but in practice, this is going
says
to be
our
horrible
artillery guy, where all you got to do is yank a string.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because guess what? You're going to have all these people losing their batteries, and then they're just going to be carrying around these PhDDs that don't work. They're going to lose the PhDDs. I just think it's one more thing that soldiers can lose. So it's going to be really cool in theory, but not in practice.
I disagree. Who else would disagree? The folks that were in Korea for the
frozen chosen
who ended up having to chop right off their fingers. I bet they would wish they could have some of those back. I mean, if you're in a cold weather environment, you can have those type of things because you're not as accurate shooting whenever you have to wear gloves or even have like one finger exposed. It would, for an infantry unit, I think it would drastically change the way that you could conduct operations.
We'll see.
Yeah, in Afghanistan, like we had to wear gloves when we left the wire. We had to. It wasn't an option. Like they made you. But they didn't have, I have very tiny little hands. They only had like XL
like
gloves available for me. And they're huge. And I was like, what do I do if, I mean, it would get like stuck in parts of my, so I chopped my trigger finger off like of the glove. So it looked like I felt like people thought I was being a hardo and really my gloves were just too big.
But it would suck like if you were doing all that stuff and you were got used to having it and then it went out. I feel like it could make it worse, but you can make that argument for anything like cold weather gear. Like what happens if you're down your feathers, down feather sleeping bag super jacked up. Like you would be upset about that too.
Yeah.
So
something to think
snivel
about.
Gear.
Snivel gear. Fucking pussies. Huh.
Was that an army term? Did you guys call that too?
Mm-hmm.
Snivel
yep.
gear.
Yep.
Snivel gear. Well, soldiers' feet are particularly at risk in cold weather regions as they come into direct contact with snowy or icy conditions with only protection of their boots and socks. You know what I think about? I live here in Jersey near the Delaware River. George Washington, those troops that Christmas when they marched through the snow, and they said a lot of them were so ragged at that point, like they only had rags around their feet.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck? I look at some of the accomplishments of previous, like, and like you're talking about Korea, their snivel gear blew. It sucked. Mm-hmm. They had no, like, we're very lucky for all sniveling.
I mean, Russia just went that we did it the other day. They just stopped. They started using socks for their military in like 2013. Like that was, other than that, they wrapped their toes with like fabric too. Like it was part of their uniform.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They just got authorized socks.
In response to cold temperatures or heat loss, peripheral blood vessels constrict to divert blood away from our arms and legs and head towards your internal organs. Occupational, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, all, either way, they got robotic heaters now. And I think that is, I would like to try it. I would like to see how long the batteries
can
last.
We can try it. Yeah.
Like if the battery lasts 15 hours and you could do a whole day of patrolling with it, that would be great. I would be all on board for that.
Mm-hmm. And this is a big deal, not just for football players, but for football guys who go shirtless in stands, wear a heated belt, keep your midsection for your letters.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to round number four. And before we get started with this actual story, I want to give people an update because I missed it a little bit on Twitter, but there's a lot of Afghan refugees that are coming to the San Antonio area where I live and very close to my house. And my church has been very involved with it. And there's been a couple of the women that are super involved in getting these family stuff. And my wife went this weekend to one of the houses to try to get the family settled. They're in a small apartment. That's like a 2-bedroom apartment. They have the mom and the dad. Those people have 7 children. Then the dad's brother and sister-in-law live with them as well. And their 2 kids. And then another brother lives with them as well. So they have like 5 adults that are living in the house and like 9 or 10 children, something like that. And the way that they are is just remarkable. My wife talked about, she hasn't had a lot of experience with people that are from Afghanistan or the Middle East, but she said going and meeting them, like the kindness that they would show, like she goes over there, they're struggling. These people only have 1 or maybe 2 sets of clothes. Most of them only have 1 outfit that they can wear, and then they have to wash it on the weekend or something like that. And she was talking about how when she walked inside and was like trying to take in what they would actually need, like beds and furniture and stuff like that, that they would give her like Monster Energy drinks. They were trying to give her food because they were just trying to be so accommodating because they were so appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the ability to help out one of these families that's doing that in your local area, look it up. You can Google search it, the Afghan refugees that are coming to your area. Help them out, like, because it's things that you might have in your house that you just aren't using, like oh, I need to get rid of this couch, or I've been looking to upgrade, or I have these extra things in the kitchen items that I might not need. There's going to be people in your area that could possibly need them. It makes a world of difference to them. So thanks to everybody who donated to me on Venmo. We got a bunch of stuff for this one house, and that's one family, but there's 160 other families here in San Antonio that needs that, and that's just here. So what's going on still has effects to our local communities here, but in Afghanistan, things are dire. There's 13 million people who are currently starving and not having any type of food. The Taliban is doing horrible things again. There's 6 more veterans that are currently being held captive there. And we can't figure out what's currently going on until we realize what happened. And what Dan LaMoth is doing, and what the Washington Post and the New York Times and other outlets now as well are jumping on board, is they're through the Freedom of Information Act, they're getting the after action reports, but the administration is not listening to them. So this report is basically what the Biden administration response has been to some of these after action reports. And it's not a good look. It's not good at all. Let's walk through some of this reporting from Dan LaMoth.
Yeah. Declassified U.S. military analysis of the calamitous exit from Afghanistan detail repeated instances of friction between American troops and diplomats before and during the evacuation, concluding that indecisiveness among Biden administration officials and initial reluctance to shutter the embassy in Kabul sowed chaos and put the overall mission at increased risk. Two after-action reports were prepared by officials assigned to U.S. Central Command in September, about 3 weeks after the final plane load left Hamid Karzai International Airport. The assessments appeared to affirm separate accounts of senior U.S. commanders frustrated by what they characterized as sloppy, misguided management of the withdrawal. Military leaders who coordinated the evacuation fault officials in the White House and the State Department, who they say failed to respect the Taliban's swift advance last year and resisted pleas from the military to prepare for an evacuation weeks before Kabul's fall. And that's something I was talking about last week when we were talking with Dan, how frustrated I was that the White House said, well, we didn't know the Taliban was going to Kabul so quick. You didn't, because
it's
everyone
not
else
fucking excuse when you're America.
And but we did know. I know we knew. And so I knew I was, you're lying is how I
But
felt.
Even if we didn't, that's not an excuse.
Right.
Like, you should. If you have the world, we pay for the world's biggest military and intelligence service by far. If you count that, what the fuck can you figure out?
Right. The declassified after action analysis are contained within an official report detailing the military's investigation of the August 26 suicide bombing outside Abbey Gate that killed an estimated 170 Afghans and 13 U.S. service members. The report comprises dozens of witness interviews, findings of fact, and other official government records. Spanning 2,000 pages, it presents the most extensive, unvarnished account of the U.S.'s 17-day race to end its longest war. The existence of the after-action reports contradicts claims made Friday by White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. Is it like pterodactyl? P is silent. Who has joined President Biden and other admin officials in seeking to downplay the significance of U.S. commander's remarks. That there was no after-action report, Psaki told reporters at the White House.
What does that mean?
What?
Like, how could there possibly have not been an after-action report?
I don't believe that. Sorry, I just don't
believe
that.
Just flat out not true. Like, it's absolutely unequivocally not true.
A National Security Council official said Saturday that Psaki's statement from the podium referred to a forthcoming, more extensive review of the war's endgame. Sure, Jan. Many people have conflated the Abbey Gate report and documents released to the Washington Post with the Pentagon's after-action review of Afghanistan, a broad report that will examine the final months of America's longest war, beginning in February 2020, referencing the month that President Donald Trump made a deal with the Taliban, setting the stage for withdrawal from all.
And even if that's case, it's so ticky tack. It's so playing cute with words like, oh, there wasn't one. This was for the Abbey Road incident, not for the overall. Shut the fuck up. Just be honest. Like, just say, yes, it's not. It happened. We saw it happen. Like, why? It really goes to show that, like, modern politics is really the same. Like, you have one side of the political fence that's like, oh, this is legitimate political discourse on January 6th. Like, no, it isn't. No. We fucking watched it. And then saying nothing happened bad. Afghanistan's withdrawal actually wasn't terrible. Yeah, it was. We fucking watched it.
Right.
Like, you can see this. It's not the 1920s that you're relying on telegraphs that come years after the fact. It's happening now, and you can in real time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Biden administration has pointed to that Trump deal in which Trump agreed to pull all U.S. troops by May 2021 and explaining part of its rationale for leaving Afghanistan. After months-long review, Biden delayed the final exit until September, but followed through nonetheless, saying that Americans had sacrificed enough. And it's weird to me, like, I feel like he extended the date, but still did nothing to prepare more for it.
There's certain things when you get to be about my age that you hate going to the doctor for, and getting your prostate exam checked is one of those things. If I have an appointment and I need to push it back, there's certain things I could do, but it's eventually going to happen. I'm going to get my prostate checked. And that's what the Biden administration, they were like, oh, well, we're going to change the date just a little bit, but we're not going to do anything to make sure that it's good. Or like going to the dentist and you know that you need a root canal. Like, well, now I'm going to start brushing my teeth fucking 3 days before I need this root canal. It's over, dude. You already fucked up your chance.
Yeah.
It's just so disappointing too, the modern politics, how they're just always so concerned with saving face, blaming the other person. And we've talked about it on here. I think if they were just honest, the American public would, in general, like, obviously there'd still be half the country who would hate them, but I think people would be able to stomach that a little bit more.
I think a lot more people would be like, this is what we want to see. Because if you go out, we said it, I think, as soon as the withdrawal happened, like, if you go out there, President Biden makes an address and he's sitting in the Rose Garden, sitting behind in the Oval Office, and he says, the nation's longest war is over. We've been here for 20 years and we weren't making any more ingrounds. We've killed Osama bin Laden. We've deteriorated a lot of the terror groups that were in Afghanistan. Those are no longer a threat to the American public. Things that happened whenever we left this conflict, it didn't go completely smoothly, but we did the best we can given an unbelievably difficult situation. And we want to make sure that if we are going to put American troops back on the ground and anywhere, that we're going to make sure that the mission is clear and we're going to learn from the things that happened. They didn't do any of that shit. They're like, oh, it went fucking great. It didn't.
Listen, I mean, I'm not saying anything revolutionary here. War is difficult. War is not perfect. And it's, you know, a lot of people's hands touched this over the last two decades. So if he said all those things that you just said, I truly do believe it would have been taken a lot better than all this BS or pushing down our throats now and getting cute with words, as you said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As for the attack at Abbeygate, the NSC officials said the White House stands by the findings of the investigation. It concluded that the August 26th attack was carried out by a lone Islamic State operative who had a bomb rigged with ball bearings to cause catastrophic carnage in a packed outdoor corridor just outside the airport. Senior military officials briefed those conclusions at the Pentagon on February 4th. President Biden said in an interview with NBC News on Thursday that he was rejecting the commander's accounts. The White House officials said later that he accepted the overall findings of the Abbeygate report. When I saw that, I felt so angry inside. I felt so angry inside, and I felt like it was a slap in the face to imagine being a family member of one of the Marines that died at Abbeygate and seeing this guy fucking reject like actual accounts of people who were there.
And how can you reject it? You can't reject a multiple first count?
Yeah.
What?
On Tuesday, State Department spokeswoman Jelena Porter described the comments of the military officials as having been cherry-picked from the large report. That doesn't mean they're not true, even if they were. A State Department official said Saturday that he could not comment on the Defense Department's after-action analysis. The after-action reviews included in the Abbeygate report were completed by U.S. Forces Afghanistan Forward, the military headquarters that oversaw the withdrawal.
And you could basically read the rest of the report about what's going on, because it essentially just says the same thing over and over again. Dan Lamont and the reporters that he's working with are outlining what actually happened. The administration saying that it's not happening, they reject it. It doesn't matter if you reject it. You can reject gravity, but the fact of the matter remains, it's true. Like, it's there. It's a natural law. What happened, happened. You can't change it by flowery statements.
So one part I want to highlight, part of the report says U.S. troops would have been much better prepared to conduct a more orderly evacuation. And this is from Vasily. I said, if policymakers had paid attention to the indicators of what was happening on the ground. And I think this goes back decades to when the paperwork was getting jammed up of people we knew were supporters and friends of us that we had promised, like that huge pileup at the gate, because so many visas were fucked, because so many third-party contractors just disappeared into thin air and wouldn't complete the pay. Like, this was decades in making. And lawmakers, from the accounts on Twitter I've been following, advocating for Afghans that have helped us and deserved, like, passage here, this is stuff that policymakers have been having put to their attention for years and years and years and years and years now. Like, this is the fault of so many, but nobody is taking accountability. So that stood out to me, but fuck it.
And it's infuriated that they won't take accountability, because you know it's just not going to come. And I think, honest to God, like, the way that we view the world, we view American politics, if somebody did that was involved, they came out and they said that they were partly to blame for what happened, and that they are going to work tirelessly to make sure that that didn't happen. The fact is, you can't do that, because if somebody said, I made a mistake, you would have swarms of people asking for their resignation. When right. in reality, no one's going to do any of these jobs perfectly, but you have to act like you are. And that shit's infuriating. And it's the reason why we won't go anywhere, because nobody will ever say they made a mistake. Right. Nobody. Right.
Yeah. Crazy. And you know, it's crazy. I'm sorry. Just last point about that. So often in the military, and you guys tell me if this is true. So often in the military, one of the things they say about being a leader is taking that responsibility when things go wrong and standing up in front and saying, all right, this is on me.
It's the ultimate coach speak, where Bill Belichick will go out. His players have never, ever won a game because of him, but they've lost every game that they've ever lost. It was because of him. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the way that you approach it. You have to take the troops always get the credit when the generals should get the loss or whatever. You have to look at it that way. Like, you have to take responsibility, and people respect you and want to work for you if you do that type of thing. Not whenever you're throwing them under the bus and saying that you reject it. Absolutely ridiculous. Let's move on to round number 5. Another conflict is straight up out there. But you won't have any conflicts when you're trying to buy a home. Cross country mortgage, because buying a home can be one of the hardest things you can do. You need the best support available to get through it. That's why we're big fans of Cross Country Mortgage. They're dedicated to getting your dream home and will stick with you in the trenches until it's done. Cross Country Mortgage has a team of loan officers dedicated to getting it done and finding you the best possible loan terms available. They have an average close time of 21 days, which is crazy fast. They get a wide variety of loan types, which means they are able to cover everyone. They can help you through your GI bill, or not your GI bill, your VA loan and all that kind of stuff. Go to crosscountrymortgage.com/bar. Mortgage can take care of this. Cross Country CDS02. All loans are subject to underwriting approval, NMLS, consumeraccess.org. All right. This one is from Ukraine. Again, we had on Russian Star, who honestly, if you haven't started following him on social media, because after having him on our show, you should. Because even when Friday, when all that news was dropping that we were about to go to war with Ukraine, I went over to Russian Stars, and he's like having like a fucking some shit in Kiev, like, and hanging out, still wearing his red coat, chilling with Malcolm Nance, another guy that's been on the show before, like just hanging out and doing the thing. So I wanted to take to Reddit, because I feel like Reddit commenters oftentimes have the most accurate information of anyone.
If you want to find sarcastically seriously, because
if
I
you want to find they're right.
Yes.
They'll do true crime stuff. If Reddit starts going down your life, they are going to find you. Like, they just are. Like, all these different stories about true crime, where you'll have it solved by Reddit commenters that'll find like some tiny little speck of something in somebody's room. They're like, oh, I saw that at Busch Gardens in Williamsburg. And like, oh, well, let's go back to the cameras and figure it out. Next
unraveled. How did I know I left a dildo in the background of one of my old Barstool videos?
Barstool Reddit. Exactly right. So I went to find it, and I went to our military, and I found just a straight up post so we can get to the nitty gritty. And this comes to us from TonyG2007. It says, will Russia train at all? I'll be honest. NATO is not doing anything, and it's starting to look like the situation with Czechoslovakia in World War II. Your thoughts?
Well, silver bullets. We got a corpsman on our hands. Nobody knows unless you're at the very top of the Russian government. There's no way of knowing.
And that was God for, and I put a lot of weight on upvotes too, because anybody can comment, but you have to really source these upvotes to get to the real nitty gritty of the information. And that, I guess, silver bullets, no one knows unless you're at the very top of the Russian government. 14 upvotes there.
14. And then blind Merc. Is that like a Merkin?
Yeah.
U.S. Intel seems to think any time from the 16th to after the Olympics. In reality, only Putin knows.
Man, yeah. See, if you put something like that, and then you have this open statement with a couple of ellipses after, like, only Putin knows. People are like, damn, that didn't know.
Upvote. Yeah,
that's an upvote. That one's got 12. Next up, Blind Manuel says, yes, it will invade and successfully overthrow Ukraine's government.
And then Smarter ICO1 said, and then the insurgency will start. People agree. Blind Manuel said, without a doubt. Absolutely. No, yeah.
This next one's big, though. This next one's big.
From Jerziki, what they say, Cons?
Yeah, they said they will try, but Ukraine will shock the world and hold.
Wow.
Putin is humiliated and hung in a square in Moscow. Navalny returns from Siberia and they begin the democratic process in Russia in earnest.
I love that.
To read a fan fiction.
You just fucking throw it out there. Not only is Ukraine going to hold, they're going to hang Putin by a fucking yardarm.
Blind Manuel said, honestly, I hope you're right. And the technical till chaps. What technical till?
Not technical till 6416, who's been on the show several times. Right. This is actually the 6417.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ukrainian president and regime is corrupt. Jailed opposition leaders, shut down 3 TV stations to stay in power. MSN will not tell you this.
Throw an MSM in there too. And you start talking about mainstream media and you just do it with a little abbreviation. I'm all in.
I know you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I know you know.
You start blaming mainstream media, buddy. I am in.
Okay. My eyes perked up. All with U.S. backing. Also very discriminating policies against non-Ukrainian citizens. They are not worth defending and not worthy of NATO. So this guy's getting a little.
That's a
Josh
good point.
Hawley,
but then we have Brilliant Elk 7291. Comes in a couple hours later and he says the thing nobody is getting in this situation is that Russia and Ukraine have been at war since 2014, folks. So a full-scale Russian invasion isn't unlikely at all. In fact, it's to be expected.
Right. There's is saying open your eyes.
Like, why is everybody acting like this shit's new? That's been around since 2014.
Troops killed in Ukraine already. So yes, that's a lot. That's a well, saltiest man in the world. Saltiest man in the world. Pardon me.
Yeah.
He said the real question is who is going to do something stupid like accidentally hit something in a NATO country and kick off the big one. My money is on Belarus. That's like in the Revolutionary War, the shot heard around the world. Remember that?
Also right. Calling it the big one is a good move.
Right. Mm-hmm. Belarus.
Throwing Belarus in there.
Mm-hmm. Belarus.
Not a lot of people know.
Shady, shady, shady.
Right.
Now says right. Not good. Row 4, column 31. This is really important. Said yes.
That's exactly right.
Techie Bartik said they shouldn't. Southern Sniper 1861 said, wow, this person's super old. An invasion seems likely. And I think the only reason is the U.S. pulled out the troops, which was a deterrent. But U.S. gear is remaining in the Ukrainian arsenal. So while Russia probably would win, very bloody for both sides. I think this person thinks like our 3,000 troops would do something there besides have a real bad time. None of that. I'm just saying we need more like.
Yeah, well, then that's when Arbor 70x7 comes in and he says there weren't a deterring force. They're training the Ukrainians. It was a National Guard so that the active army could be ready in case it really pops off. They were never intended to fulfill a combat role. Like people do get that confused a lot. It was never to fulfill a combat role. Never.
Yeah. Well, Southern Sniper 1861 again says, I understand that these were guardsmen from my state, but the thing is Putin knows if one American soldier was harmed, hell would be unleashed on Russia. But now they can operate freely. Mm-hmm. Tell that happens. Now some fake internet name posted an 8-ball. So now we got cocaine in that, I guess.
Yeah. And then the last ones, they really break it down here. This one's nano chain chromium. He said very, very short version here, but Putin wants Russia to be a superpower again, like the USSR was. A superpower needs satellite states and vassals, at least in the 20th century mindset. So Ukraine is an obvious choice. Also, historically, Ukraine has been a gateway invasion to both directions.
Everybody knows pot, gateway drug, Ukraine, gateway invasion. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, and who doesn't want to be a superpower?
No, I definitely do. I mean, all of this is to be said. Nobody knows anything. Legitimately spent so much time. I was 3G'd up and like cruising sites. I had no idea what is happening because every single major news site in the world essentially is saying different things. Is the cause for it? What's going on? When it's actually going to happen? Living in Ukraine, living in a spot where you don't know if a powerful force is going to attack you. We were making fun of it lightly, like using Reddit. That would be legitimately terrifying to live in that state.
Yeah.
Yes.
And seeing that the people we posted on CBT Instagram today, an 80-something-year-old grandmother laying down, learning how to use an AK-47, like the people are really forming little militias. And I'm prepared to fight. I will fight if I have to. Like they're
and it ain't their first rodeo. Some of those old bags in Ukraine, they've been doing some fighting in their days.
Yeah. So people
and
just
they love deals. It when you call them old bags.
Old bags, they love it. I'll tell you.
Term of endearment.
That was a really intense Reddit conversation though for our long boobs, you know.
Oh, really?
Not their wheelhouse. It's very
long boobs.
I got some now.
Some of them just look like straight up socks filled with pennies.
It's shocking. I'll say, if you're listening to this and you're younger, appreciate your body now before
That's
things
true.
Start getting loose.
I mean, just look at the Barstool guys photo whenever the Adidas come out. Everybody's tits look like an absolute.
Yeah. Yeah. It's scary bodies that we work with.
It was. All right. Let's do a little Valentine's Day goofing. What do we have for that day?
So I know if you're listening now, it's the day after Valentine's Day, but still, love is in the air this week, especially because it's on a Monday. I feel like you don't get the full. When Valentine's
Right after
Day,
the Super Bowl?
Not great.
Nobody wants anything to do with anything today.
When I was younger, when Valentine's Day was on a Thursday or Friday, that's when, like, at school, I feel like that's when it was really in the air. Anything could happen. You might be on the phone with a boy this weekend. Mm-hmm. But, and then it turns out no, and the flowers you got sent that were anonymous were from
that dad. Picking out what your Valentine's Day card was so difficult, because if you made the wrong choice, you were going to get absolutely made fun of for a long time.
Oh yeah. I went above and beyond today because it's his first Valentine's Day. I ordered
you
from
saying cash, like your family gave out.
Oh no,
cash
no.
In your
please,
Valentine's
please
card.
Be friends
like,
with
my
Kate.
God,
please be friends with Katie.
Here's a five spot.
His Valentine's that I got from to go out to his class, plastic heart filled with little stuffed animals.
We got the same one for Cardi's
that you tie on the card.
We were tying them on last night watching the Super Bowl together.
I was in the car outside the daycare hurriedly doing it like a piece of shit this morning. Yes. Oh, great. Anyway, Valentine's Day.
A lot nicer than what we used to got. I thought I was king of the castle when I had like Ninja Turtles.
Did your guys' school do the, like, to raise money for charity or like a school organization, the anonymous, like you could send on Valentine's Day at homeroom?
Oh, yeah.
They'd be like, oh.
I feel like yes.
Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Kind of like in Mean Girls. And like the girl, the hot girl next to me would get like 15. And I would have sent
them. We had the same type of thing, but you had hearts that you had, and each heart you had to pay like a dollar for, and the dollar went to a charity organization. Mm-hmm. And the girls would give the guys a heart, and so then you would pin the hearts, the paper hearts, to your shirt or whatever, and you'd end up walking around school with like a shit ton of hearts on you. And I was always like, dude, I gotta have at least, if I don't have at least three hearts, I'm gonna be a fucking loser. I need to
Stressful.
Have more than three hearts. So then once you got to your third heart, you're basically cooking with gas. There, you're a scot free.
Yeah, I could breathe easy a little bit. Yeah, it's a very stressful time of year. So I went on to, and love in the military. I mean, it's just a shit show. I don't
but
care
it's also can be very beautiful.
That's true. It's much, I would argue a lot of times it's much more intense of a love.
Very passionate.
Passionate because time is often of the essence. There's deployments, field, all this stuff coming up. Like, a lot of times you're young, you're getting money for the first time.
And relatively good shape.
Yep. So
decent sized penises.
A lot of men and women aren't in the military, don't realize that being in the military doesn't mean you're not a weirdo. So they're like, I feel like military people can snag, they can fail upwards a lot of times.
Don't have to worry about like STDs and stuff. Free medical care. You got syphilis. What? Just fucking rub some dirt on it. You'll be fine.
Rub a little dirt on it.
It's a motion.
That's on. Right. Anyway, so we went on Zero Block 30 and we asked, what's the craziest like relationship? What's the craziest breakup? What's the craziest like love story you've seen play out in the military? Some of the answers were doozies. JD Simpkins, he said, our CO divorced his wife after she developed a full-blown relationship with a PFC while we were deployed. There are more wild examples, but the rank disparity really jumps out. Our CO was one of the worst people on the planet, by the way, so it was a very celebrated event. So, I mean, us.
And what do you do as a CO there? That's a tough spot. You have to recuse yourself, right? Like, you can't punish somebody that's in under your command,
right? But you also you got to leave that unit and maybe get sent to another because nobody's going to respect you after
buddy,
that.
You got to
you
got to
retire.
You got to go AWOL.
Like if people know that one of your troops was getting the old Australian kiss from one of your troops. Talking about a kiss down under there, Cons.
Well, I got that.
Got it.
Down under kiss.
My morning docket said a guy in my platoon and his wife went to federal prison for engaging in a conspiracy to kill the wife of another guy in my company. The other guy went to federal prison too. So they were all in on it. That's love in the air.
They're all together.
Yes.
Zach said a guy on our submarine who kept messing up on deployment. Other people were emailing their wives about it, and some of them were friends with this guy's wife. So they told her he was getting in trouble a lot. He was an 18-year E6 at this point, so things not going well. So she, back home, she thinks he's getting masted, which she thinks he's getting busted down in rank and will have to get out for his tenure. Like, it's never going to get better than this. So she starts selling all his stuff without telling him because she thinks they won't have any money. He did not get masted. He got home and found all stuff was gone. They got divorced. Home of the pasta said some positivity. This is a good one.
Wait, we can't just that poor fella.
I know.
I mean, my God.
No
dude.
Faith in him. No faith in him.
He's not going to get promoted. He's got to sell all this shit. What a fucking loser this guy is.
Yeah, that's really tough. To come home and be like, where's my couch?
Honey,
where's the hot tub? Home of the pasta said some positivity. Got to my first base with a buddy from tech school. 3 months into arriving, he marries a girl he met on Tinder in his ABUs under a B1B prop display on New Year's. This had all the fixings for a divorce. Nope. I got ordained so I could marry them. They are still happily married today with three kids.
I love it. See, occasionally there are, I mean, me and Annalise were married and under 6 months and we've been together for 12 years.
Yeah. See, the good thing, I got three more. Mr. Pizzacoli said, buddy from boot camp got a car for a stripper he was in love with. She immediately left the state and he was left with no money and no booty. This was 3 months after boot camp, buying a car for a stripper. I remember the guys in my unit used to be like, we get off work and they'd be like, hurry up, we got to go. I'm like, where are you going? They're like, Shanice broke down on the I-5. We got to go hook her up. I'm like, you're paying to fix her car. Who is Shanice? And it was the Purple Church Strip Club.
When I first got to canine school, my old instructor, Staff Sergeant Killingstat was his name. I was standing on the scouting field where we were learning how to do different dog techniques or whatever. And he always called me Cocktrain. When I first started, everybody called me Cocktrain because Cawthorn is close to Cocktrain.
Sure, so absolutely.
He's like, hey there, Cocktrain. Come here, you dumbass. And I'm like, oh, I'm Staff Sergeant. So I like ran over there. And he's like, I heard your dumbass is getting married this weekend. Is that fucking true? And I was like, yes, Staff Sergeant. And he's like, God, you're a fucking idiot. Get away from me. Like, okay. And I had to run away and I ended up doing it. He was right. He's totally right.
You're right. In the military, marriages, anywhere else, people like your coworkers are throwing you like a little party beforehand, whatever. Military is the only place where they're like, fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
Especially in your first like 2 years in.
Yeah. So this is from Alex Kintui, said there was this sergeant who started banging his major/boss, who also happened to be married to a chief warrant officer too. The major left her husband, retired, and moved in with the sergeant. Fast forward a couple years and everyone ended up single, heartbroken, and with hatred for each other. I was the dumb sergeant.
Whoa, what a turn.
Care to come on the show. Care to come on the show. Yeah, we need that. And then finally, Kate Austin said, I knew of a pilot in the Air Force who had two wives, one in Singapore, one in the States.
That's like that one story that we did a couple months ago. Remember
that guy who
crazy
had,
story?
Yep. The wife in Singapore found out. She sent a package with white powder to his military address. It was only soap, but they had to have, I'm assuming, some whole big crazy stand down. But that's love in the military. There's one good story in there. There's one kind, loving story.
Yeah, there's some good ones every now and then. All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Nick, we'll start with you if you're there.
I'm here. Right. Just want to, you know, happy Valentine's Day to the wife. You know, hope you hear this. And my other love, YouTube, please subscribe.
There you go. Thank you. All right, cons.
Happy Valentine's Day to my fiance who won't listen to this, so she won't hear this. So I'll still be in trouble with her when this comes out tomorrow anyway, but whatever. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I still love her.
Kate.
So Friday, the fridge is supposed to come. It's now been broken since January 22nd. Finally, because they said it right away, but delays, there's a whatever. Because, by the way, all the local Lowe's, Home Depot, they all have fridges in stock, but mm-hmm. not the cheap one that they ordered.
That's okay? What I was not thinking.
The cheap fucking fridge. So Friday, it's finally supposed to come. We've been using the patio, but it got warm. It's been a nightmare. Okay, we have a baby. We've been using our patio as a fridge. It's insane. Since the 22nd of January. I go to get the baby there. I'm super nice. I'm like, hi, blah, blah, blah. Hello, how's it going? I come back upstairs. I'm like, is every detail of the cat hidden, by the way? Because mm-hmm. when I was about to, yeah, because he's coming up here. This is the landlord's son. He waits down there for 3 hours. The fridge never comes. He's like, oh, sorry, bad news. It's not coming now till February 26th. That will have been over a month that we don't have a fridge here. We email them back and I'm like, listen, this is unacceptable. Like we cannot live this way. And she emails back the landlord. Well, you're not the only one suffering. My son had to wait 3 hours downstairs for no reason Friday. That's what she said.
His own stupidity. He didn't need to wait there, probably.
But I'm at a loss for like, well, it's just insane. I don't know course of action. I called USAA. They won't cover any of the food or anything because that has to be your power going out. And the fridge dying is on the landlord. So there's nothing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So there's nothing that can be done. It has been so long story short, it's really expensive. Like trying to. Or I'm like, find myself ordering out a ton now because I put stuff out in the patio fridge and it either over freezes or it then warms up during the day and whatever. I've been eating so much canned beets, and like, it's like I say it as a joke, but it's not like
we can't, I'm not gonna, okay, you gotta fucking yell at these people. Like mm-hmm. you have to raise be hell. Assertive. Like there, if you just say, if you give people a fucking red carpet and lay over yourself when you're on the pavement, people are going to walk on you. You're essentially giving them a red carpet to walk on.
But what
you
got to
go after
like,
these fuckers.
I don't like, know what else.
Well, one, you phrase it. I'm going to do, we'll do a little class here for a second. You phrase it in questions. Like, is this going to be okay? You've got to give declarative statements. Like, you are going to take off a huge portion of my rent and you're going to have something here in the next couple of days. Like there, you have to be assertive because it's your money that they're fucking with. Like
I'm afraid they know about the cat and I'm afraid they'll be like,
you live
fine,
in New York,
get rid of your cat.
Thing, like that shit don't matter. Like
that's the last thing you need to worry about. I think, very stressful. I think you need to do exactly what Chaps just said. You just go, you know, be extremely assertive and not take anything
even if
short of them giving you a break on your rent.
Go on LegalZoom and draft up a fake fucking I'm going to sue you, because I would imagine that having a refrigerator is a basic responsibility of a landlord in New Jersey. I would almost guarantee it.
The lease says as long as they move to take care of the problem right away, which they
but it's
got to
be reasonable
right away.
It's got to be reasonable or prudent. Like you can't say, like you could say, oh, I ordered it and I ordered it off of Alibaba and it'll be here 6 months. Well, you ordered it right away,
right?
But that 1 month is not timely.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, if you're a lawyer out there, just read over the lease for me and tell me what the fuck I can do here. Cause I
just
don't
send it to me.
Cat.
I'll pretend I'm a lawyer. I'll fake being a lawyer and I'll yell at them.
Well, anyway, it's just been nutty and that stinks. No one has suffered more than I, but so I've been eating.
See, this is what you do, Kate. You're like, oh, I can't complain because the other people have it worse. You're paying rent in that fucking place. You deserve it. You deserve to have a working fridge.
What? I'm going to tell you something. I said that one time I was in a therapy session and I said to my therapist, like, oh, you know, I still, you know, a lot of people have it worse than me. And he's like, no, don't do that. Don't dismiss how you're feeling right now and take anything away from it, because your feelings that you're having relative to your life, this is a hardship and this is annoying and you shouldn't dismiss that. Like, well, I don't live in the gutter in India, you know, or something like that. Yeah. So don't dismiss your feelings.
But that being said, it's not like you are living in squalor in Calcutta. So relax a little bit.
True. Yeah, right. Exactly. Easy.
Kind of complaining. Yeah.
I just got to tell you, long story short of this, I joke about eating a lot of canned beets, but I do. It's like my only sorts of nutrients anymore. It officially caught up with me this morning, my friends.
All right.
I thought I was dying.
We're talking red wedding.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'd be very scary.
I thought I double took.
Like you bled.
So yeah. It's time. That's when I was like, you got to do something about this fridge.
You look in there, you're like, too many good beets. Soup.
Good soup. Yeah, it's fucking crazy. I'm watching that. I'm like looking at everyone's social media. So eating all this good Super Bowl food yesterday. I was eating a can of beets. That's it. Happy.
Okay. What?
Fuck you guys.
Your life updates are ridiculous. I haven't had, like, what are you saying, Ross? I haven't had a fridge in a month. But at least I have really beady shit. So.
We said the show is a smoke pit. If I was still in the military right now and I had the
show. Oh, yeah. That's the first thing. You're not talking about fucking petting cows. First thing you talk about when you roll into work. Guys, you should have seen this fucking beady shit I had.
I would be leaning over the catwalk going, you guys got to get the fuck up here right now. See what the fuck just happened in here. Yeah. So there. That's why I share it.
Looking like Kool-Aid Man was fucking taking a bath in your toilet.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't have anything. We'll see you Friday. Sound the retreat.
Yeah.